We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this seventh day of February 2024. And tonight we are in the very capable hands of our young producer, Style. Hey, Style.
Hey, good evening, Pastor.
And, of course, tonight we have again, way out from Missouri, that legendary Parson Joe Larson.
At least this time you didn't say that old ancient legend.
All righty.
You're ready to go to work.
And tonight, the only pretty face on this radio program tonight, that is... Well, she's the apothecary marm. She is Miss Natural Herbal Lady, Miss Wendy Wilson.
Good evening, Pastor and Pastor Joe. Hope you all are good.
Hi, Wendy. Glad to have you aboard.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. He said glad to have you, but he didn't say he was bored, although sometimes he acts like he's bored. But
Aboard. Words
know.
Have meanings, remember.
Alrighty. All right, there you go. We got to get serious tonight, right, Wendy?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So let's get right into the message. Joe, you remember the title of the message?
The Bible or the Internet? Which one receives more of your attention?
All righty. So we are going to be taking a good look. And we're looking at, what do we know about the Internet? We know that the Internet has no intrinsic value. In other words, we've been talking about that it can be used for good or it can be used for evil. And that's like other things, like fire, like water, like money, you know, the root of all evil. But it can be used for good. Money can be used to help the needy. And fire can keep you warm in the wintertime in the cold. But it could also burn up your life if you let it. And the same thing with water. I've been flooded out several times. I tell you, there's nothing like a nice cold glass of fresh water on a hot day, but boy, I'm telling you, you don't need it. When we get it, I have a river running through my yard, and we've been flooded several times, so it's got no intrinsic value. In other words, there's nothing in that fire, that water, or even money that can add to or take from my salvation. Or any time in eternity, huh?
No, it will not affect where you spend eternity, heaven or hell.
Okay, so that's the Internet. What about the Bible, on the other hand? Does the Bible have intrinsic value when it comes to our lives?
Oh, definitely. I call it the care and feeding of Christians.
All right. So we're looking at, we're comparing them. And the question was, where do you spend most of your time? Now, people are going to say, now, come on, Pastor. I earn my living. I have to be on the Internet all day long to earn my living. Okay. I don't have a problem. How much time do you spend on the Bible, though? I spend an average of about 4 hours a day studying Scripture. People say, well, how can you do that? Well, it's really not hard when you get in the time, and trying to get away from interruptions is the hard part. But the Word of God is the greatest source of wisdom, knowledge, and existence. It's the only source that we have that with complete and divine authority and complete accuracy defines from the very start of creation. In fact, it goes back before that, and it tells us what thing, where things have been, what things were like in the past, perfectly accurate, where things are today. Boy, can we look in here and we can see where we're at today, all of the things that's happening today. Right now, you find in Matthew chapter 24, you find in 2 Timothy chapter 3, you find in Romans chapter 1, all of these things. In fact, in Daniel chapter 12, 3 and 4, when he talks about sealing up the book until the end times, we're watching the unsealing of that book every day. But here's the thing. Only a very, very small percentage of us know it. The vast majority of people out there are in la-la land. They're clueless to what's going on. And so, do we get anything from God's Word, the Bible, anything other than the truth?
Only the truth. That's the thing with the Internet. You get truth, you get lies, you get deceit, you get fairy tales, you get people's dreams, you get a little bit of everything. Some things that aren't even really classified, I'm not sure what they are.
Including,
it's hard to tell sometimes, disinformation, misinformation, you know, who knows.
Including Satanism out there today.
Exactly.
Now, let's start in 2 Peter chapter 1 with verse 3. Let's do it verse by verse, Joe. Go ahead and read verse 3.
According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue.
Okay, so his strength of character is drawing men into Christ. Now, read the next verse.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Okay, in this Bible right here I have in front of me, there are 3,800 promises. 3,800 promises. Do you know what they are, Wendy?
I don't know. I couldn't name them all.
Well, I know some of them, and the very first one we'll find in Genesis 3:15. We call that an evangelium, an evangelium. And what that was, do you remember what that promise was? That the seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent.
The serpent, yep.
Right. In other words, he's telling you, we're going to be at war. We're going to be at war. And for all of those that have refused Christ today out there, the vast majority of people, it says we Christians, we're going to be a real minority, but we're going to be at war, but we will crush the head of the enemy out there, and they're going to bruise our heel. And so, meaning persecution, it's coming, and that applies in the first person to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so, here now, we see that. So that very first verse was Genesis 3:15. But now, the very last verse in the Bible is the very last, not verse, but the very last promises.
Promise.
In Revelation 22:20. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And so in between there, you got 38,000 other promises, which is
3,800.
3,800, I mean, yeah, 3,800, yeah. And so here now, go ahead and read the next verse.
And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge.
All right, now here, what is he's talking about, Joe? He's got seven distinct attributes to be added to our faith. Go ahead and read verses 5 through 9.
Okay, I read 5. I'll do it again. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity.
All right. Where did you stop?
Seven okay. Attributes right there, right?
Right. And he says this here, for if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what is that word? That word means
unfruitful.
It means useless.
Unfruitful.
Yeah, well, the word that we use, unfruitful, today is useless, okay?
And,
and so there he goes on to say, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In other words, when he's referring to very short-sighted, huh? And what happens when we go before the Lord and we repent of our sins, what takes place?
Total forgiveness.
We get purged. That means cleansed from our sins, huh?
Right.
Okay, now the next verse. Wherefore, the rather, brethren. Now, this is the key verse in all these verses here. This is the one that you really need to perk up and pay close attention to. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. So, what is the most important thing to any of us?
Make sure our election, our salvation is sure.
What do we know about the latest polls that we covered this last night, Joe, about that came out about the people's faith? What is the number one religion in America today? Atheism.
No longer Christianity.
It's atheism. Atheism is a religion, okay? I'm going to jump over here to 1 Peter chapter 1 for a minute, starting in verse 2. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit and the obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied, unto you be multiplied. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When he says he's begotten us again, what does that mean?
Born again?
Yep, we were born a second time, huh? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Could you imagine if our Justice Department was incorruptible? If our government, can you imagine if the church, the vast majority of the churches in this country were incorruptible, an inheritance
that
incorruptible,
would be amazing.
Undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So what does that mean, that you were kept?
Our salvation was kept.
That means that God keeps your salvation.
Right. It's kept in heaven, not in this earth, and right. It's in the hand of God.
So we're kept of God. What if we had our salvation? If we could lose our salvation, would we lose our salvation?
Probably. We sure would.
Not probably. All it would take is one sin.
Yeah.
And I know you two. You're sinners. That you were. No. But let's.
You're right there.
All righty. Let's go over to.
Check the past here.
Yeah. I think you and I would probably be a little worse off than Wendy. But
I think we probably would. Yep. I remember some years in the military. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we won't go there right now. But let's. I tell you where we should go. Let's go right over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we just got a couple verses to read. Verse 20 and 21. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. Well, then go ahead and read
Timothy.
Them.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
All righty. Let's take a look at some of these vain babblings, okay? First of all, nobody really knows what a woman is. Well, the AMA said that they're not putting male or female up on birth certificates anymore because they're not sure that there are male and female.
Yeah, that's pretty vain babblings.
It's kind of babbling, isn't it? Okay. What about vain babbling and science falsely so called? What about climate change? We are in this climate change due to fossil fuels. First of all, let's start with fossil fuels. Have you ever seen?
It's a misnomer. No.
Hey, Wendy, have you ever seen any fossil fuels?
I don't think so, no.
No. You know why? Because there is no such thing as fossil fuels. And geologists will tell you, the earth makes the oil. The earth makes the natural gas. How many people out there do you think know that?
I don't think a lot of them do.
The vast majority of them are clueless. They'll be talking about spouting off about fossil fuels when there are no fossil fuels. They'll tell you that nobody knows what a woman was. I knew what a woman was when I was in second grade in school. I could tell you. Right?
Yeah. I knew the difference between my mother and father, too. I knew that before I went to school.
If somebody would have said to me, have you ever seen a woman? I'd say, yeah, my mom's one. And look at the teacher over here, right? You know that, right, Wendy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it's astonishing because, you know, 10 years ago, if you went to the doctor's office and you told them, you know, on your visit, you identify as a mammal, you know, an animal of some sort. They probably would call the psych ward to come pick you up.
But today you could be a furry, right?
Yeah, you could be anything, and they don't do anything. I mean, some people probably can identify if you go to your general practitioner, their sign-in sheets. You know, if you haven't been there in a while, you have to update your file. In other words, make sure you're dressed the same, all that, and also your privacy notice and all that, and now they have you can check the box you're male or female, or then they have a box now other, what you identify as, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of
what pronouns to use.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just laugh at it and smirk at it, but I think it's
some of these furries, you know, these furries, and I believe it was that we just did an article about this story in that where. I think it was New York. I'm trying to remember the state, but in the one school district, if one of the furries, one of those kids that identified as an animal, as a puppy or a goat or something, if they got sick and are hurt and had to be removed, then they said you need to call the animal control people. I'm not. Was it Oklahoma? It was Oklahoma. I just got the word.
If the kid was misbehaving, that's what they did. They called animal control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a stand-up comic once. They were on a break. It wasn't their night to perform. They were with friends at a hotel, at the hotel bar, and in comes all these furries. And she didn't know what they were. She thought it was a mascot convention.
Wow.
You know, she didn't even know what those were. And she was kind of trying to learn what it was about.
All right, so we're looking at these things. Now, let me ask you this. These vain babblings, will you find them in the Bible, or will you find them on the Internet?
Yeah.
You can find them on the Internet.
That one.
Right?
You'll find them everywhere.
What about we know the Dr. Fauci.
Pastor.
What?
The biggest place you'll find vain babblings is in the public school system.
Right. Here in Ohio, I've said this time and time again, they want to pay children $500 a year to go to school. Give them $500 to have them come to class. Now, the reason one of the liberal politicians that's trying to introduce this legislation said, how are they going to know what bathrooms to use or what gender they were if they don't come to school and find out? Well, you see, those idiots don't understand. That's exactly... Oh, by the way, he said the reason that there's getting fewer and fewer attendance in the public schools is because of these doggone homeschoolers. More and more people are becoming homeschoolers here in Ohio, and that's taking the children out of the public school. And see, but see, those kids that are homeschooled, they already know what bathroom to use. They already know what gender they are, right? They don't have to go to school to find that out, okay?
No, they don't have to go to school to be indoctrinated so they don't remember anymore what they are.
But you see, you and I know that's exactly one of the reasons people are homeschooling here in Ohio, to make sure that that they don't get indoctrinated. What about this, the science? Remember, Joe Baba Biden says, follow the science, right? And so we found out that Dr. Fauci, when he told us that you wear a mask, no, don't wear a mask, no, wear two masks, okay? And remember, you see, those viruses, those COVID viruses, only were allowed to travel 6 feet. So once you were past that, those viruses know that they couldn't go past that 6 feet. They had to stop right there. And so as long as you stood 6 feet apart, now the other thing, too, is the shelter in place. If you had that virus, instead of going outside in the fresh air, away from people, what you want to do is you want to go back home, shelter in place with the entire family, and share what you had, right?
Right, pass the virus around.
What about this? Remember, Joe, and I'll never forget it, how we were the ones, we were the first people. Remember they said how the polar ice cap was melting and polar bears were drowning? We were the ones that told them polar bears could swim, remember? Okay?
Exactly.
And it was like, what? Right. All these people went to Harvard and Yale. It was like, well, what do you mean polar bears can swim? But we knew they could. And we told
people. The secret today is out in Denmark. Professor Allan Jensen has been studying the Arctic ice, and he said that from 78 to 96, there was a very minimal downward trend, but for the last 17 years, the downward trend of the ice on the Arctic has been about zero. The downward trend is zero for the past 17 years. I wonder if Al Gore talked to any of these scientists that actually work up there and monitor this stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this.
You know, don't confuse a good narrative with the facts, right? We're not supposed to do that.
Over 10,000 meteorologists have already signed petitions saying there is no climate change. Everything is you have the rotation of the climates, and so, but then again, what do they know, right?
Yeah.
So, anyhow, remember, probably the very biggest hoax that they called science was evolution. And Mr. Darwin himself said if there's anything that disproves his theory, it's the human eye. But here, evolution, there has never been, there is not now, there never will be a creation without a creator. Evolution never happened. That was a hoax, like the China gate thing, or the Russia gate thing. But anyhow, we'll be back right after this. I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This world is not for beginners. I'm blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be. Gonna see my family again. Gonna be with long lost friends. Maybe soon, I don't know when. I'm blessed by you. There you go, blessed by you. I sang that song for Wendy. I bet you can't sing like that, Joe.
I'm not even going to try.
All right, listen, we got a prayer request coming here, and we got to do this right now. Peter has said that his brother-in-law, John Kennedy, is in the ICLU unit with congestive heart failure, and please pray for them. And that means that's, I know, Peter and Laura, and it's probably Laura's brother then, so let's do this. All you folks out there listening out there, every one of you either need prayer right now or someday will, and that's for sure. And the Bible's very clear. Those who show mercy receive it. Now, it's important. First of all, it's very important for you to believe in prayer. And if you believe in prayer, okay, and you really believe, God will answer. God answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes it's no. But let's join with me right now. Join with me right now and pray for this fellow. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I don't know John Kennedy here, but Lord, and I don't even know if he's saved. I hope he is, but I want to hold him up to you right now. And Father God, ask, Lord, the very first, if he's not saved, that the very first thing would happen to him, we know that he would call upon your name and receive Christ as a Savior tonight. If he is saved, we just would pray, Father God, Lord, that you would touch him and bless him in every area where he might receive that blessing. Lord, that he would have a very quick recovery, and Lord, that you would use him in a mighty, mighty way to your glory, because that's why you made us all, to be used to your glory right up until the time you take him home. And that's our prayer for John Kennedy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And now we go to Miss Wendy Wilson. She's always got some very important information for us. So, Wendy, take her away.
Well, we have a few topics that you could pick from. We can talk about microscopic enemies. We can talk about lab-grown retinas. We can talk about how science has thrown in the towel, the white flag, if you will, trying to design antibiotics for superbugs.
That sounds like the one I'd rather go for. What about you, Joe?
I'll go for that. Antibiotics for superbugs, because they're working on trying to create them.
Well, yeah. That's what we would like to think, for sure. Well, science seems to be kind of surrendering with regard to the battle against the drug-resistant bacteria called superbugs. And according to some research, January of this year, 2024, the New York University in Toronto, Canada, their science area has pretty much accepted that bacteria will mutate, will resist antibiotics, and it's just part of the evolutionary process mankind has to accept. Well, this doesn't change the fact that the world has a tough challenge of dealing with these drug-resistant pathogens, which, you know, brings us to the Global Strategy Lab with the job. Their job is to find a radical shift to tackle the superbug issue. So they call it their socio-ecological challenge, or war on superbugs that can't be won, is how they put it. And they are looking for ways to live with the problem. So we're supposed to, you know, just grit our teeth and bear it. According to the Journal of Perspectives, January 2024, they said, for the past 100 years, we've tried to address antimicrobial resistance like a medical problem, but we haven't really made much progress in actually mitigating the deeper divers of this issue. So, you know, it's kind of like their attitude is, we made our bed, we should just lie in it. According to their research, our real problem of superbugs stems from the following thing. Bacteria, viruses, and fungi tend to evolve. Number two, the acceleration of this process through human interventions with over-reliance and misuse of antibiotics. And number three, the routine use of antibiotics in the livestock industry. So this is going back to the research in Canada. Isaac Weldon, a researcher there, says global data from 2019 showed more than 1 million deaths a year globally directly related to antimicrobial resistance. So now I did read, Pastor and Joe, I did read from what they're doing in Europe. They are trying to discontinue the massive use of antibiotics in their livestock industry, and they say they're seeing gradual decline in bacterial infections in their animals as well as humans. But we're all told this is still an urgent threat. While one side of science is kind of giving up the war against deadly bacteria. The other side is sounding the alarm. You know, mankind is under this serious, urgent threat. Now, the Global Strategy Lab this last year in 2023, they set up, get this, a policy accelerator. Do you know what that is, Pastor?
No, I don't.
Well, it was funded with $8.7 million of grant money from the Wellcome Trust, and it was set up to try to address this mutating bacteria issue. And the researchers stated that technology combined with antimicrobial drugs is still not the answer. This is what Isaac Weldon added. He said, what we're currently doing is treating symptoms only and not the cause of the mutating bacteria. Using only technology and drug therapy, science would need to operate at an unsustainable speed to keep up with the mutating microbes since they are evolving faster than the drug development. Minimizing drug resistance is our best hope. Let's see. This is the University of Leeds in England. They teamed up with the University of Edinburgh in Scotland and the University of Hamburg in Germany. Their work landed in the Lancet Infectious Disease Journal, and they said this in 2017. They said, the World Health Organization declared antimicrobial resistance one of the top 10 public health threats facing humanity and called for a national action plan to tackle the threat. More than 100 countries did respond with policy plans that are inadequate in monitoring and evaluating the problem. Simply developing a national action plan may not necessarily mean a country is more prepared to respond to the threat. So currently, we're told that there's like almost 5 million deaths globally from mutating pathogens, and science cautions that tens of millions are going to die if solutions aren't created to replace the drugs that are no longer working. Now, 6 years have passed since the WHO launched their global plea for a solid solution, and nothing adequate has really materialized. But they're still saying, hey, the stakes are high. The lack of cooperation, though, within your drug companies, your politics, seems to be reducing a major snag in addressing this issue. The problem is most likely... What do you think the problem is centered around? I'm going to let you answer that.
Lack of money. The government isn't giving them enough money for their research.
Yep.
Who would have ever thought, huh?
Right. Yeah, the problem is problems about money. So here is what Kazim Attal, researcher in infectious disease, he's at the London School of Hygiene. He goes, antimicrobial resistance is a wicked problem, as conflicting priorities exist among the intricate web of stakeholders. Aside from drug companies and politicians, who are the stakeholders? Well, I'm going to read the list. Clinicians or your physicians, pharmacists, microbiology labs, medical schools and teaching hospitals, clinics and regular hospitals, veterinarian sectors, animal husbandry sectors, government pharmaceutical management agencies, drug monitoring surveillance sector, procurement, storage, and distribution businesses, research and academia, regulation and safety sector, external partners, the public health programs, patients or your consumers of these drugs, financial sectors, various civil society organizations, and the media because of the advertising. So all these people have a stake in antibiotics, basically, in that whole sector. According to Kazim Attal again, he says, we really don't have a human-centered perspective among decision-makers and governments for better health. And he's right. What they're wanting is global governance, and they think they figured this out. Okay, getting the world to cooperate is the challenge with all the moving parts, so it's a massive endeavor. So the Ministry of Health, in cooperation with Gonda React Project and the WHO office in Gonda, they issued this report in 2013 on how the world would be able to fix this problem. Here's how they said it would be fixed. The React Project suggests a, get this, rational use committee that should be formed and people appointed to this committee to manage the interest and the power of the stakeholders. They want to appoint kind of the very same health professionals that prescribe all these drugs, which created the problem in the first place. So we already have the following committees. We have Drug and Therapeutics Committee, where they have Infectious Prevention and Control Committee, Clinical Microbiology Lab Committee, Pharmacy and Therapeutics Committee, and also Healthcare and Epidemiological Committee. We got a bunch of committees, and I don't think adding another one's really going to be that helpful. This is Gonda React Project. They say stakeholders play an important role in the agenda setting stage, technical collaborations, as well as the consensus building stage for the policy process. They must be managed concerning their interest and power. And Kazim Attell says this: we emphasize the importance of strong governance and anti-cooperation for better health content. European Pharmaceutical Review reported in 2021 that the annual revenue of global antibiotics alone, just antibiotics, is more than $47 million. And they project the revenue is going to be $58.8 million in 2027. These projections do not include antiviral or antifungal or any other drugs. It's just antibiotics. So, therefore, whatever committee oversees this global management of these drugs will be heavily influenced by money. And the nature of man is to be corrupt, and $58 million can buy a lot of influence. So the So the U.S. antibiotic market is projected to bring $20 million in drug sales by 2027. So that's a lot of money stakeholders would have to kiss goodbye for the sake of sustainable world health, and they're not going to do that. So they will form they're just going to form committees. They'll go to meetings, they'll report to Congress, they'll talk about global management goals, but nothing's going to really change. 10 years have really passed from the first published reports on this global consensus, and the problem has not manifested any progress or nothing's been implemented in 10 years.
Wendy, two things hit me. I had to just interrupt you. One, when you were listing the stakeholders, I mean, they even included my grandmother before she died. I mean, it was everybody, right? So they're trying to say everybody in the world is a stakeholder. Now, that really kind of ties it together. And then if they were like George Soros, they have all these committees. Well, they would take the chairman of each of the committees and have them form a super committee that runs things.
Right. Yeah.
And now, if they were really serious, that's what they would have done, because one of the most successful people in manipulating and getting things done is George Soros, and you just look at what he does. He takes all his different groups and pulls one out of each and forms a group, and then those groups gets put in different categories. Those five main groups then send one person to the top panel, you know, that makes his governing body, and they've got a perfect example of how to do it. They just have not looked at the right person.
See, Joe, you have to have an advisory committee to the super committee that appoints the other committees, okay? So
yeah. Well, I have a good example, too. I mean, it's on a smaller scale, but here it is. I worked at a neurological clinic, and after they added two new physicians, the practice there needed some extra office staff. So after doctor rounds, in the morning, the office became busy in the afternoon with patient appointments, and doctors were starting to enter the clinic to see their patients, and I was taking patients back to exam rooms, and the phone was ringing off the hook. Now, the head physician came in the back and asked me, "Who's answering the phone?" And I walked with the doctor up the hall to the front office, and the manager was there, which was the doctor's wife, and she was sitting there at her desk, but she wasn't answering the phone. And so the doctor asked his wife, why wasn't she picking up the phone since it was, you know, all these people, you know, were already busy? And, well, her response was this: we have an ad in the paper for a receptionist.
That's brilliant.
Okay.
That's brilliant.
So that's her answer for we have a committee, you know.
Yeah.
So similar to this problem, you know, your drug-resistant bacteria, we're going to see – you know, we're going to form this committee. your policymakers, your drug manufacturers, and your other stakeholders can then kind of deflect questions from the public or from the media. They'll say, oh, well, it's under advisement. You need to contact the committee. They're looking into it. So, you know, instead of this white flag, what we have is hoisted the pirate flag, the skull and crossbones. This ship has sailed. It's never going to come back. So we're going to have a persistent problem with bacteria and things like that based on the overuse of drug therapies we shouldn't have been using. Now, there's no challenge that, you know, antibiotics have saved lives, but we've just mismanaged it. We have. So the immune system is really strong, that God created, and so it has an adaptogen cell that it can adapt, you know, pathogens on antibodies that it already had. And it if you give it a chance, if you're not doing things that suppress immunity, you have a great chance of, you know, having your system kill the infection without having to rely on medicines. But if you're taking aspirin and Tylenol and other things that suppress immunity, then you're going to have an issue. So we have to look at what we're doing, too, with regard to infectious diseases. So we do have a free catalog for people that are interested, Pastor. They can simply give us a call at Apothecary Herbs, and we'll send that out. Our number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, if they want to check us out online. And get empowered, because if you want to boost immunity and make immune system strong, it's avoiding some of the things that tear down an immunity.
Well, some of the people that have used your products say, in fact, Bill Knott in Coblesville, New York, says, using your top-quality supplements has been a game-changer for me. And then Susan Amos in Carrasco, Michigan, said, I am on my fourth order, and I have been very satisfied with your products, and I referred a few friends to your site. And then Robert Wellborn in Kernville, Texas, has said, I have tried other herbal products, especially when I am out on the road, and I prefer Apothecary Herbs. And then Kenya Dent in Wendell, North Carolina, said, I have used many of these products, and I am amazed at how quickly they work. And then Pastor Ernie Sanders said, I love them. Yep, okay. They're the best. And so...
Oh, well, thank you. Well, it has a lot to do not only with the quality of ingredients, but your processing. So herbs are very much heat sensitive, so any processes that, you know, expose them to heat will lower potency. So they're light sensitive, too, so if you ever wondered why your herbs come in dark jars, that's the reason.
Huh.
Wendy, I've got a question. You know, the world keeps telling us to trust the science, but you just made it sound like the science said, don't trust us, we can't do it.
Well, that's not really science. That's science falsely so-called.
Well, yeah, right, exactly. Right, the Bible gives you the truth, doesn't it?
Right.
You know, what does it tell us about...
False setup, folks.
Doesn't it tell us in Deuteronomy 28 about in the end times that the Lord was going to send us new...
Strong delusion, yeah.
Well, new plagues. He was going to give us...
You've never seen in Egypt...
So
you've got, I hate to say it, you've got a dark side to science. You've got some scientists going rogue, and that's why a lot of them have been conducting research that was prohibited in the U.S. They were going offshore and doing it on these big research laboratories floating out there in the ocean. So you've got a dark side there.
Yeah, well, the Bible calls them witches and warlocks.
Yeah,
it does, right?
Yeah, so now you've got some good people. I'm not saying they're all bad, but you've got science is kind of just, you know, destroying itself. People are, you know, skeptical. You've got a lot of retracted research coming in. I mean, one research school just retracted something like 36 reports. Because of fraud, and it was happening within their own college academia heads. The CEO was one of them. So, unbelievable scandal, really.
Well, look at Fauci. I mean, he said, I am the science, remember? And, I mean, he's the one handing out grants and handing out, sending things overseas that we couldn't do in America. And now we've got that lab in Colorado working with all kinds of bad things and processing. So, I mean, we had the government was paying for labs in Ukraine, all around the world, let alone just the floating ships. So, science has been corrupted. Everything in America, if you look, really, we've, what, sold out America for, what, filthy lucre's sake, whether it's politicians, yeah, scientists, policemen.
Let me ask you this, by definition.
You name it.
Yeah, by definition, you know, I just had talked to Nurse Elaine. She's been in the hospital. She's still in the hospital. She had heart failure, and she had heart surgery, and she's recuperating right now. But she was affected by this COVID. Not that she never got the shot, but they spread. And I was just thinking of that. People shedding. She was affected by people that had been vaccinated and by their shedding. Now, by definition, because this is the article I have right here in front of me, by definition, with what has taken place, and by definition, the people that have taken the kill shots have become, by definition, mutations. That we actually have people that are, they're literally mutants now, because they've been changed. Their DNA and everything's been changed by this stuff that they call science. And I call it witchcraft.
Well, isn't that why one of the reasons God flooded the earth was because of genetic altering?
Yeah, changing. Yep, so, and that's what's happening out there today. We're coming up to a break. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. Or go up on the internet to thepowerherbs.com. Folks, listen, I probably have more of your medicine, Wendy, than anybody. It's 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. And I am blessed to have friends like you and Peter Glidden and others that are naturopaths that understand an herbalologist than what God's Word, the Bible, clearly teaches. You see, I sat and I thought about this deep thinking. God has given us the herbs, and Big Pharma has given us the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go with God, right?
Yep.
Any time. Who gets it right? All righty.
Well, we're having a heart healthy sale of 25% off. It runs through the 17th. If people are thinking about stocking up on things to protect them, this would be good.
Did you say heart healthy?
Yeah, we have a heart health. This is a heart healthy month.
Okay.
But they can buy. The sale applies to any item. It doesn't have to just be the heart health stuff. But Yeah, it's a good time to do that if you're thinking about, you know, pandemic hits or cleanses or immune support.
All right, very good. Well,
Wendy, is there anything that one of the big problems when people get older is they get the clogged arteries?
We have 30 seconds, Joe.
Clearly,
okay. Yeah.
So you can answer after the break.
Yeah, diet and ocean salt, Celtic sun-dried salt helps keep those arteries and veins flexible so plaque won't stick.
All righty. We are out of time, and I know you said you were only going to go. God bless. We love you. You have a great time. Thanks for being here tonight with us.
And my pleasure. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
All right. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Hang in. Got a lot more to come tonight. Be right back with more.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org.
That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.